Righto, before we get into it today, I'd just like to thank the blokes and ladies that keep the lights on here, our sponsors.
Better Beer, Jogging a Can, Winning a Tin, The Athlete's Choice. Look, no matter what sort of beer you drink, they've got you covered. Go check out their whole range.
Country Trucker Caps for keeping our domes out of the sun with all their deadly designs.
TikTok Nutrition for keeping our bodies filled with the good stuff.
SP Tools for giving us the best tools for all our projects at home and on the work site.
And the True Blue Aussie Book. Bluebet. Call them what you want, knee knockers, golden nuggets, thigh slappers, but our friends at Manscaped refer to them as the boys. Not every man has children, but every man is responsible for their two boys below the waist. When your little guys have more hair than they need, trust Manscaped for all your grooming dreams. Boys need love too, so join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com and using the code ALPHABLOKES for 20% off plus free shipping. You heard it here first, the boys are back in town.
Every man knows how scary it can get when you're going for the close shave below the waist. That's why I trust Manscaped for all my sensitive areas. Introducing the Lawnmower family, including the Lawnmower Pro 3.0 Plus and the 4.0 Pro and the 5.0 Ultra.
Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALPHABLOKES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALPHABLOKES at manscaped.com. For the best your boys have ever looked, trust Manscaped.
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the he wants.
Yeah, how's the setup too, bro, the side table? So we had to just buy a rock to put on it so it didn't move.
Dwayne Johnson's going to hold it down.
Right, yeah, I just saw that. That looks good.
Yeah. So, you know, just adds a bit of fucking character.
Have you been following the Rock's, like, a return to WWE?
Oh, a little bit of it.
Like, how he's, like, he's turned heel, but he's full. They've gone back into more of a 90s sort of vibe on the WWF and WWE side of things. I was a massive wrestling fan when I was a kid, and
sorry to hear that,
man. Loved it. It was great, man. It was great back in the day. Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, The Undertaker, Kane, all these guys. And then it went to the more PG era.
Yeah,
like back when I was watching it, there was HLA, hot lesbian action, where these lesbians would come out and they'd make out in the middle of the ring. I was 9 years old.
Yeah,
and mum walks in, what the fuck are you watching, child? And then it went to the PG era, but now apparently The Rock is coming back, and he's in there and he's swearing and they're trying to break the fourth wall, a bit of kayfabe. Anyway, whatever. I'm not a massive wrestling guy now, but back in the day. But anyway, welcome to the Alpha Blokes podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
My name's Isaac.
Sorry
for ruining the intro.
Here we go. Loves wrestling. Yeah. No, that's all good, mate. Fucking here to give the everyday battler a voice and delete head noise one laugh at a time. If you're going to have a beer, crack a better beer, jog in a can,
I'll have one.
A tin, the athlete's choice. Cam drinks no matter what, so he's having one. Look, today's guest, some would say Australia's most controversial comedian. The Buttsman.
Sure.
Isaac Butterfield, how are you, mate?
Mate, great. Great to be up here with you fine gentlemen. And I tell you what, it's a pleasure to be in this studio. From what I see and what I hear, you gentlemen are doing great things.
Thank you, mate.
It's great to be here. So,
fucking oath.
Mate, it's here in Gladstone. Never thought I'd be back here, but I am, unfortunately. But it is... I only did a show here tonight to catch up with you blokes. So
well,
thank you.
Yes. Appreciate it, brother.
Having me.
Now, mate, I've got a little list here because you've got plenty going on at the moment, which I'm keen to unwrap with you today.
Sure.
Currently on your regional tour, you've released a book. You got over 2 million subscribers on YouTube, over a million combined followers across Facebook and Insta. I'm guessing TikTok isn't your...
I did have a fucking TikTok. I had like 800,000 fucking followers and then it disappeared.
Yeah.
I keep getting them deleted.
That
so.
Does not surprise me, mate. And but I just mean, talking about biting off more than you can chew and chewing like fuck, Bruss, I think you're a perfect example of that. And I'm keen to talk to you about it all, mate.
Yeah.
It should be good.
But I try and do as much as possible. That's sort of how I operate. But also, now that I have, I just had a son a year ago, and now, so my wife and I, we don't try and go too hard into things that we can't commit 100% to. But
yeah,
you know, several years ago when I first started doing stand-up and making YouTube content, I said to Claire, my wife, I was like, listen, this is the only thing that's going to allow us to buy a house.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a degree. I don't have those type of things. What I am good at is stand-up.
Mm.
That's what I do well. And the best way to have that career trajectory that's going to be good, for lack of a better term, or is going to be impressive to people around you, or is going to get the numbers involved, is to get on the internet and have people find you that way. Because I can travel, like I'm in Newcastle, I could travel to Sydney and do 5 minutes at an open mic night when I started doing stand-up 10 years ago, or I could spend that time making a YouTube video or a Facebook video back then.
Yeah.
And that is what I decided to do. I did all those gigs. I did those gigs for free where I drive for 2 hours after work or whatever, or 2.5 hours, get stuck in traffic, do 5 minutes, have to, you know, you don't get paid. It costs you money and petrol and food and all that type of stuff, and then head home and then get up for work the next day.
Yeah.
Or you can, you know, basically say, okay, I'm going to spend that time writing. I'm going to, you know, make a clip or whatever I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about whatever's happening at that time. And that was one of those things where I said to Claire, I said, it has to work. There's no other option here. Yep.
You know,
there's no backing down. Yeah, absolutely. And that's something I wrote about in the book.
Yeah.
There's a whole chapter on just not allowing yourself to take that backward step. And it looks like that's what you guys are doing too.
Mm. Well, mate, it's one of those things where when we first started, coming from fucking nothing to do with this at all, you know, we just found we got some little thing, started taking some videos, and I just made a rule in my own head that we'd put up a clip every day from it, from the footage that we took. Some of them did nothing for ages, but it was just like, for some reason, I just thought, just do this, stay consistent, keep chipping away. All of a sudden it started gaining traction, and then bang, you know, and people probably don't see that sort of things as much, but the same for you, mate. You probably set yourself a thing, stayed consistent, kept hitting it. All of a sudden things start happening and you keep building off the back of it. And then when you've got that going, you'll bring in a little side thing and use that to pump that up. And like, you know, getting yourself as, just making hay while the sun shines.
Absolutely. So for me, I started stand-up, and then a lot of people do it the other way around. They go, oh, I'm an online creator, I'm a YouTuber, I'm whatever, TikTok dude, and then I'm going to do stand-up because that seems like the natural progression. I did it the other way around. I started doing stand-up. I thought, I need to be able to find a way to get an audience here, and the internet was the best way to do that. And a lot of people in the comedy industry look down upon that. They still do to this day.
Yeah, I was keen to ask you about that.
Yeah, they see that as like, you know, you're a hack or whatever, and it's just an old school mentality of just, it's just a shit mentality.
It's just, mate, what it is jealousy. And it's just a bit butthurt because you haven't done like 4 years of speaking in front of six people.
But that's the thing with me. I did.
Yeah.
I did literally 4 years of doing just like shit shows. I drive wherever, do whatever, do the open mics, all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And then eventually sort of found an audience. And to what you were saying before about you putting up clips, I did, I think it was 2 or 3 videos a week for a year before I got 1,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Yeah, wow.
And then it just went from there.
Yeah.
But it was that attitude of turning up every day, writing, and then filming, you know, for all these videos and editing them, understanding how to edit, do all that type of stuff myself. I was able to then, once it started to gain a bit of traction, a bit of momentum, really hit it and make why the sun shines, you know?
Yeah.
And without that, if I had just had – this is my fear with people who get famous on TikTok, or they start to garner an audience on TikTok, and I'm not putting shit on TikTok.
Yeah, yeah.
I do fear that if you don't have that mentality of, holy shit, we have something here, let's put all our eggs in the basket and fucking run with it.
Yeah.
Then it'll just fade away.
Yeah.
And it also happens with younger people too. If you get a bit of fame or a notoriety in whatever field it is, and you're on TikTok and or Instagram and you're blowing up, and you've never worked a real job before, or you've never fucking, you know, if you've never mixed mud, if you've never worked on a building site, if you've never done this, that, or the other, you don't know what you've got.
Yeah.
Like I refuse to go back to what I had before because I know what it's like to have to get up and work a job you fucking hate.
Yeah. And I think what we're very lucky with, mate, and you can't really plan to do this. It's not like I'm going to be like, right, I'm going to get an apprenticeship, I'm going to work in the mines for 4 years so I can talk about it on a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Like no one does that. But that's what happens. And I think that's
why we can relate to our audience so well, because when we started for a whole year, we were doing exactly what everyone's that's listening is doing.
Yeah.
So you build that relationship with people that can relate to you, you know.
And the drive's there to never be back there. So.
And saying that we're going to take the jump one day and we're going to do this and recommending people to go do what they want to do and actually doing it, you know, you're sort of with everyone while it's all happening.
Yeah.
You know,
and that and making that jump and putting your eggs into the one basket is a fear.
Yeah. Oh.
And also you probably shouldn't, you know, put all your eggs into one basket. You need, my old man always used to say to me, do whatever you want in life, but you have to have money coming in.
Mm.
So work your job. But then when you get home, like my opener for these shows, Ben McLennan, great dude, great comic, but he busts his ass all day at work, then goes home. And his wife goes to – Ben, he's here. Hello, Ben. She goes to work.
Yeah.
Right? And then when the kids go to bed, that's when he writes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. You know, so it's a full day of work and then kids, and then you can do what you got to do to find this career path that you want to work on. Now, you know, whether or not Benny sticks to that, I think he will, and I think he'll really make something of himself. But, you know, it's that mindset that – will allow him to do that if he does continue to be successful in that.
Yeah. Mate, what I find is people just can't grasp that you have to do something for ages and not get paid for it. And just have a belief that it's going to happen, something's going to work, but you do it for the right reasons so you're not looking for money the day after you start. Because, we've run into a few separate things now, like on the way doing different ventures here and there, and, you know, you just bump into it where you go, you know, they're like, oh, when are we going to start seeing this or that, or I can't do this for nothing. And you go, well, mate, we sort of did that for a whole year or whatever. And I think, like we said, it's just about doing it because you believe in it and you really enjoy doing it. And it doesn't feel like a job that way, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that's the beautiful thing is it doesn't feel like a job. Like, I think anything you do that you get paid for, you eventually turn up and it is like going to work.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's, you know, me doing a show in front of X amount of people.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's not me busting my ass getting up at 5 a.m. But it does feel like work because you have to be there. That's the thing.
You have commitments and it's not like you just decide in the morning that you're going to go do this. Or,
100%. But in saying that, there's a whole lot of other people out there who are really just putting it all in and living this life that they – and it's not me talking down to anyone here, but they're living this life they don't want to.
Yeah.
But they don't have a choice.
Yeah. Well, I think it's that thing too. Like Newcastle is very similar to here, still city, industrial town.
Yep.
The thing to do is you go out and get an apprenticeship you're a tradesman and you work and you build your super. So when you finish working, you have money to then retire. Mm. Right? That's just how – and, mate, there's nothing wrong with that at all, by the way.
No,
but it's just like you grow up in a thing where – we never got introduced to this sort of side of things or any other sort of way of looking at it. So you could understand why the older generation, like when we're sort of starting to do these things, like our oldies and that were always supportive, but probably didn't really understand it at the start, as in like, how can you make money from this sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, put extra money in your super fund. You'll get it one day, 35 years at the one place.
And what if you die on that, that journey, you know? Like these things happen. Like I think one of the reasons that I did this sort of career is because – you know, my old man played footy for a living. That's what he did. And played NRL for, you know, going on 14 years or whatever it was, 15 years. And that was not the traditional job.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden I go, okay, I can work in a non-traditional job and still provide for my family. Now, whether or not you're going to make it in comedy, it's very unlikely. There's not that many comedians that are making money in comedy. There's not. That's just that's the cold, honest truth about it. There's a lot of people trying to do it and there's not that many people who are making money. It's the same with podcasting.
Yeah.
How many podcasts are there?
There's so many
podcasts. You know, there's so many good podcasts. There's so many shit ones. Unfortunately, there's a lot of female podcasts. They should be illegal. But in my humble opinion.
I'd like to know from the Weezer, COVID, how many more up until this point of 2024? Because I remember when we first started, there was like 4 million or something in the world. I'd like to really know. How many are actually in the world now? Because everyone's just starting a business, and it's a smart move too, just explaining their business. They'll just start a podcast.
Yeah,
which can help with marketing and stuff like that. But, like, what's an actual podcast when they're actually entertained?
Is it 4.7 million as of January 2023, so that's still a long while ago. That's over a year ago still. So.
Yeah. It'd be interesting how they read them too. Do they do it off who creates it? Because it's pretty Or once you know how to do it, it's pretty easy to make one, but, you know, that might be doing two episodes and they just stop.
Over 5 million.
Yeah.
Oh, 70 million episodes.
Yeah, it's pretty hard now. Like, you need to have something that, like, because people get into their rhythm, right? They, like, have, like, a certain amount they listen to, and that's their thing. Like, when they're driving, they'll lock it in on this day a week. Mm. So to break through someone's routine of what they listen to, you sort of have to offer something exciting or, you know, yeah.
I'll tell you, when I found new ones is when someone had a week off or something like that. Then you're looking forward to that and go, now what? And then I'm going to go search for another one.
Yeah. Consistency. That's why you got to stay in front of everyone's mind.
That's right, eh?
You know,
consistency,
like,
is massive.
It is. It's key. And it's key to any role or job, or if you're at school or whatever. You know, you need to be consistent with anything you're doing.
Yeah. Keep rocking up.
Going to the gym, you know, in relationships, being a dad, whatever it happens to be, you have to be consistent.
Yeah.
As a podcast, I only really listen to Rogan's podcast, and I have done that since I was a kid.
Yeah.
In fact, it was an episode with Joey Diaz, like, I don't know how many, 10 years ago, whatever it was.
One of the best in the game.
That got me into stand-up and listening to him talk about how he started, and then it was like, okay, they basically gave like the list of what you need to do. You need to write 5 minutes, you need to go and do an open mic night and then go from there.
Yeah.
Because there's no, like, even back then when I Googled it, there probably is now, but I Googled how to start in stand-up. There was no, like, you know, rhythm or
spreadsheet
or answer
to it. Yeah, or how to do it, yeah.
How to do it. Now I think the go is, if you are a young person trying to get into stand-up, then, you know, TikTok's your place, because that's where you find the most virality. That's where you find a big audience. Instagram Reels, even YouTube Shorts.
Yeah.
And then build on those other platforms. I think you need to be big on all platforms. Otherwise, it's just the fear. And even for, I don't know how many followers you guys have on TikTok, but if you say something that's a bit out of the ordinary, or say something that goes against the rules, then your whole platform's just gone.
Well, I don't know how many times it's
proper
happened.
That is why, like, we've been fucking on, like, bee's dick, just hovering, like, had it taken away then given back a few times and shit like that. But
man, we had TikTok had a meeting about me. my former manager told me that they sat down around their boardroom table with Xi Jinping on the wall.
Yeah, Lazy
don't
Susan.
Don't put that on TikTok.
Lazy Susan in the middle.
Lazy Susan in the middle with Xi Jinping swinging around. And they had a couple of Uyghurs serving them drinks, allegedly. And they said, what are we going to do about this Butterfield bloke? He's got to go. And the video that made my channel, or whatever you call it, my page on TikTok get taken down, was a video of me putting shit on this vegan booty. Who I've done a million times, done it to death, I've met her several times, and we actually get along quite well.
Yeah. So you guys have this, like, just for anyone who doesn't know, you and the vegans have like a
war.
It's great to watch. It's fucking great to watch.
And it's they just deserve it. Like, they're bad people. Yeah. Like, they're up there with Nazis. They're bad people, and I've never enjoyed them. But it's all, the good thing about it is I don't actually care. People are like, why? I don't care.
Nah,
I don't care at all.
Yeah.
It's just that they bite back every time.
Yeah.
And so I've got, like, people like Vegan Gains, Vegan Booty, That Vegan Teacher, Herbivore Hench, all these people that I can just list off in my mind that hate my guts and will make content about me. And then I don't have to think of a video that week, because that becomes the video.
Mate, that's right. Yeah, one of the blokes who fills in for us, good mate of ours, the Poo Bandit, we call him.
Yep.
And fucking he comes in and he doesn't like him either. And like, we don't, none of us really do, but he come in and he was saying that every now and again he'll eat twice as much meat one night, just so one.
Oh, yeah.
One is fit. What do you reckon? So one feels like they're not doing something that day.
That's it. If we can all just up our meat intake, that's what you can do to upset these people. But yeah, I don't care about it. It's, for them, it's a religion sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's what they buy into. It's the same with, you know, people on the far right or the far left or the left, you know, people who are, think of themselves as a Greens voter or whatever they are. That's their religion. That's what they buy into.
Yeah.
That's where they feel safe, and that's what they understand, and they don't want to think critically about anything else, so that's where they go. And it's the same with vegan people. Very much in the same vein, it's the same in the carnivore community.
Yeah, the two hardcore carnivores I'm starting to watch now.
Cam,
I'm going, yous are pretty getting pretty hardcore yourselves.
Cam, you said ages ago, anyone who's into any specific thing and that alone and just fucking rides it into the core, they're all got the same sort of thing where they're just fucking crazy.
That can come down to just being into cars too much.
Yeah,
or video games too much.
Pokemon. Yeah, I love Pokemon. I'm balls deep into it.
Yeah, yeah.
I collect the cards and all that type
of stuff. Yeah, but you're into different things. You know that one bloke, you meet them, they can't have any conversation with you besides what they're into.
But I think that comes from, like, this innate...
Well, I heard a pussy before, mate.
I think that comes from, for most of them, no.
Yeah.
That comes from this innate human thing where religion or that sort of guide is very much something that people look for. Now, I'm not a religious person, but
yeah,
it seems
they lost.
To be,
they need to find attach themselves with something,
and
yeah.
maybe this is why religion is everywhere in every sort of part of humanity. There's always this higher being, something to belong to. Like maybe over thousands of years, that's where we've all gone, and we find ourselves, and we go, okay, that's just a part of human nature is to look for that.
That's why we created a cult.
But that's the same thing. Is this cold here? Yeah. You know what I mean?
We didn't mean to, but
it's funny, man. It's just like we sort of said it on the show one day. We're like ABC, like Alpha Blokes Cult, and then they just went off with it. And
Oz,
we're like,
right, yeah.
And we're like, right, I tattooed ABC on a bloke's knee at CMC Festival. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just on the front row on a camp chair.
Oh,
just
shit.
Wanted ABC and signed underneath it.
So we're thinking about getting a branding station and getting members' numbers.
Why not?
But like,
why wouldn't you?
We sort of turned it into this thing, and it started getting pretty hectic, right? And we're like, hey, hang on, what? And then we started looking out, what is a cult? Like, can there be good ones?
Yeah, yeah.
Because like, all about it, but we're not like gassing anyone or doing any crazy shit.
You're
here.
You're not, okay.
No,
not
so yet. Yeah, no.
It's time.
Yeah, yeah. And so we've sort of made it like ABC. Look, the C is what you want it to be. If you want to be a cult, you can fucking run that. Nah.
It sounds culty, but if you can benefit from a cult, like, don't worry about the members. It's all about what you can take from them. And that's how I operate. I think it's a nice way to be.
What was the biggest cult? Catholic Church, obviously.
I mean, any religion, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
You look at like the Jonestown Massacre, that was a cult.
Bohemian Grove.
Bohemian Grove, yeah. There was I've got this YouTuber that I absolutely love, okay? And you said, let's pull some shit up.
Yeah.
Tyler Oliveira, does anyone know him?
No.
Man, Tyler Oliveira is a fan. Sorry to interrupt about the cults.
No.
We'll get back to cults. But Tyler Oliveira is, he went into Bohemian Grove.
True.
So he does all these videos.
He does some loose shit.
Yes,
this
he is an absolute lunatic, and he went. So he like went across. So Tyler, he
like snuck into the Bohemian Grove.
He got some great thumbnails too, by the way. I don't know who does those.
He's
like a proper YouTuber. He gets like 5 million views.
Yeah, that's his thing. Like he'll plan a video and go and do it.
Yeah, I've seen him doing like
he lives and breathes it.
Yeah,
him and Tommy G, he's a good one too. But so he goes across this river into where Bohemian Grove is because it's a whole, like, I think it's actually like a proper, like, club.
Yeah.
Like it's a proper, like, they serve drinks and shit there. Yeah, like, it's not just about. So Bohemian Grove, if you don't know, is a whole thing that all the elites in America, they all get there and all the ex-presidents and all this type of stuff. And that's where they pick the next U.S. president, and they allegedly make sacrifices to this owl god, who I forget the name of. Shame on me. but Alex Jones was there years ago.
Yeah.
He filmed inside Bohemian Grove, the first time anyone had ever seen it. And that's the thing about Alex Jones, is he says some crazy shit, but a lot of the time he's right.
Mate, I don't know how many times I've re-listened to that first one with him and Rogan.
I remember
when he loses the plot in that 90 seconds.
I remember.
Fantastic.
The frogs are making him gay or whatever.
Mate,
which apparently is true.
Fucking true, yeah.
Yes.
Mate, we were on a drive out to camp one day to go out for a round, and Alex Jones, we listened to him and we were crying at one stage when he's like, just proper going off.
He
and
loses Rogan.
That is going to be one of the best blow-ups on the internet when he did that.
Oh.
Did they take that episode down too, or just his second one?
I think they took the original one down, but it might be back up.
I wonder if it's going to be back up now that Rogan's back with
all other
YouTube
platforms.
YouTube.
I'll
have a
look. So the thing with Alex Jones is people bag him and stuff, and I get it. Like he says some crazy shit, but he's right. He does to get things right.
Mate, a lot of the times I reckon with conspiracy theorists, right, pretty much all of them have points that make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I just think I can't fit that into my life. So
it's
I just go, yeah, okay, man, you got a point, but what am I going to do with that?
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do if they're turning the frogs gay?
Fuck all. Yeah.
We'll just have heaps of gay frogs fucking.
Yeah. It would stop the problem with cane toads up here.
Yeah, proper.
Wouldn't be as many frogs, would there?
No, there's no procreation. It's just all bum fucking, all right? There's nothing wrong with that.
I didn't know this Bohemian Grove was still going.
Oh.
Well, apparently it's been going for a long time. Oh, yeah. So Tyler Oliveira, he goes in there and he does this whole expose of what's actually happening there. Think of Bohemian Grove like your local country club or something that, you know, you have to be a special sort of member to get access to. And he sneaks in there. And I highly recommend him as a YouTuber. He just makes some great content. He actually just went into, like, this week, he went into like a pedophile village where they put all the pedos in America. And it's like across from a school and all this crazy shit, daycare center.
What?
And he goes in there and just like starts asking these people like, what did you do? All that type of stuff. And
a pedophile village.
Yeah, I've never been. But yeah, he does all that. here he is here getting chased out.
Jeez, mate.
Yeah, the sex offenders. I think that's what they called the video because you can't really have a pedophile in a title.
Don't touch kids.
But yeah, so they call the cops on him, and it's a whole thing. Pervert Park, that's what they call it. Well, like I say, pedophile village.
That's wild, man.
Welcome to pedophile village. It's great to be here.
Well, box aircon's just hanging on by one screw.
Yeah, so these are the dudes. And like this guy says he got 3 or 4 pictures, you know, he got caught. He was internet porn again. This guy was saying that he got sent a zip file that he never opened. Yeah, sure.
Without his dick in his hand.
This guy was actually talking shit about him, so he wasn't a pedo, but they should have a sign up that says pedo or non-pedo. I think that's important.
How have you gone with your YouTube stuff overall? Like, obviously, TikTok, like, even we've had fucking dramas with keeping a thing on there. With the stuff you do on YouTube, have you had to be careful or tiptoe around a few things with what you do, or are they pretty good with the content you've put up? Because that'd be a pretty big big one for you now, wouldn't it? 2-something million subscribers, that'd be a pretty...
It's a big chunk of money.
Pretty important one for you.
Yeah, I don't want to lose that. Mm. But I've got good contacts with the people at YouTube, and we've had a lot of long conversations about what I can and can't put up. And I got a Rumble account too that all people who say shit that they shouldn't say, particularly about the Weezer, as you put it.
Yeah.
I've been pretty critical about Australia's reaction to that particular virus, and I don't talk about that on YouTube at all.
Yeah.
That all goes straight to Rumble or Patreon or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just too risky. I just – it's not worth it.
Nah.
You know, once – as you said, like what am I going to fucking do? Am I going to change, you know, the pharmaceutical industrial complex, you know, the way they react to things by my fucking YouTube videos.
Yeah.
No, they're not gonna give a shit. So let's not risk my fucking income doing that.
That's good, but man, that you've got to connect, like a connection there that you can say, hey, like let's have a chat. So that way if I'm going to put something up and you might think it's risky, you've already checked and that's smart.
And this is why it's important. I've had people say to me, I think more people should meet you as a person, because you might see me get in trouble for something and you think I'm some huge piece of shit, when in reality what I'm doing is I'm just – and people go, you always try and say that you're just telling jokes, but I am.
Yeah.
You know? It's like shit that you talk about with your mates at the pub. That's what I do on stage.
Yeah.
And there's definitely a place for that in comedy, and my evidence for that is look at all the big comedians in the world.
How did they get there?
They're all offensive comics.
That's right. Yeah.
All of them are offensive comics. And some people will say, well, you don't tell jokes like they do. And I say, bullshit. If people laugh, it doesn't matter where you punch up, punch down. It doesn't matter. It comes from the same place. I had a kid in a wheelchair last night at the show, and front row. Mm. And I fucking hammered him for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And every now and then I'd check on him. I'd say, you cool? Like, we're good? And, you know, just quietly off mic. Yeah. And he'd be like, yeah. Because he was obviously quite autistic as well, I hope, if he hears this. Sorry. but he was sitting there having a lovely time, laughing, clapping. I'm sure he claps all the time anyway, but laughing, clapping, and big smile on his face. He was wearing sunglasses inside, like having a beautiful time. And he spent his entire life with people like avoiding eye contact, and all of a sudden this dude he watches on the internet and enjoys is there making fun of him, and he had the best night, dude, had a lovely time.
He wouldn't have fucking come to your show if he wasn't expecting to cop some up front.
That's it, man. Like, why go to a comedy show if you're so easily offended? That's where it's at for me. And I know that some of the times that I've been cancelled or whatever, and people say that cancel culture isn't real. It sort of is. It's certainly a cultural thing. They go for you. It doesn't mean that you do get cancelled. They're just going after you.
Yeah.
The times it's been, you know, it's been the most hectic is when it, you know, a TikTok gets posted or the last time I got cancelled was because of a TikTok that I posted. So I can't really blame anyone else than myself.
I was going to say with that, like, obviously, fucking when you're doing your show, like, people are there to watch comedy and it is comedy and fucking get over it. Like, with the, some of those clips that you've put up, like, some of the trouble that you've got in, like, for certain jokes that are jokes at a show, but, like, on the social media thing that you've posted, did you know for sure, like, you would have known, fuck me, this is gonna melt this joint? Or
the joke about the Christchurch massacre was the biggest, surprisingly. That was pretty hectic. I had 65,000 DMs in 24 hours.
65,000.
So the way the DMs work, as you guys would know, it builds up and it tells you the number and then you can delete it. So what was happening was I would delete them all because I was just getting hammered.
Yeah.
And it would just reload with another 1,000 or another 100 or whatever it was. And I just kept doing it and doing it and doing it. And I ended up working out how many there were and I'd sort of count it. And 65,000 is about the guess.
Mm.
It was hectic. Mm. Every single one of them a death threat.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many death threats you guys have got, but I'm
probably only three.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm so used to them.
Yeah, really.
Like, it's just part and parcel, you know, with doing what I do. Mm. And that was the most hectic. The Aboriginal joke, it was pretty big on TikTok and stuff. But I've been doing jokes about Aboriginal people since I've been playing shows in front of Aboriginal people.
Yeah.
I do it in front of everyone and I make jokes about everyone, including white people, including Indian people, Chinese people, whatever religion you are. You know, I've done those jokes all over Australia and the world to different people of different colours. And it's as you said, it's a joke. It's not. It's comedy.
I think it's more because it's like taken and put on that social media platform where everyone stumbles across it.
Sure.
Same as us, like when we first kicked off at the start was when we were like, I was just spraying caravan as like pointing at the camera and shit like that. And like we've sort of still do a bit of that and have a bit of a laugh now, but it's sort of like keeping those real full on moments, not to everyone and to our audience that we know like it. Like, I don't know, it's a hard line, isn't it?
I've probably learnt from that, to be frank. the last time, because you're right, it doesn't do anything good for you. Like, you know, for me, when a joke goes viral on the wrong side of Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, it doesn't help me.
Well, if anything, it has a potential to not allow you to tell everyone about your merch that you're selling,
or
the shows that you're doing, like, you know. But at the same
time,
it
must have riled you up when Andrew Schultz got away with it.
Well, and that's the thing with Schultz is he did. He just got away with it. And then I was just
you would have been going,
hello. But it's fine because, you know, I should add to what I was saying. It doesn't help me. It does help me. It does sell tickets.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like this is – and this isn't like – I don't sit there and go, oh, I need to attack these people. It's literally the jokes I tell is something that I think
– no one's safe.
And I go, this is the worst, most horrible shit of all time. Let's test it out on stage.
Let's
see how it goes.
Because that's just all the comedy, eh? Like that's just,
that's what I love.
And like you said, the most popular comics are those ones that everyone goes, oh,
they're the most
say
offensive
that?
Ones.
Do you reckon a lot of these comedians, right, that are off you or whatever, do you reckon they're closet fans? Like a lot of people are like following you and laughing and that, but like if someone asks them in public, it'd be like, oh.
I don't really care.
Yeah.
Like if you don't like me, that's fine.
Mm.
I probably wouldn't like you.
Yeah.
That's where it's at, you know. They wouldn't be my people. I wouldn't want to have a beer with you.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And you guys are going to get flack for having me on the show, and that's fine. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't like it, it's cool. I haven't really told anyone this story. After I got cancelled for a joke about one of the jokes, I got released from a contract with the UFC.
Yeah, right.
And they just said, listen, it's a bit too hectic. And I said, that's fine. I get it.
Yeah.
And I messaged someone pretty high up at the UFC, Dana White, and because I'd known him for about a year at that point.
Yeah.
And I said, mate, listen, I'm not trying to get, you know, I don't want any favors or anything. I was like, if you have anything else going on in the States and you want, you know, an Australian comedian involved, you know, I'd love an opportunity. And he replied to me that like within 30 minutes and he goes, no one gets canceled at the UFC.
Mm.
And he put me back on track there.
Yeah,
so there's
right.
people out there doing the right thing and there's people out there running business and without giving a fuck. Mm. And he's one of those people.
Because they're too scared of sponsors, mate.
Well,
mate, that's it. That's it.
That's the honest truth.
The sponsors are terrified. Like HelloFresh, they got cornered and dropped me, and they released a statement. I was like, fuck off, you losers.
We've
supported Isaac once. We'll never do it again.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What if people find out you can buy chicken at the shops? Yeah. Like, oh, my God. fucking wankers. Yeah. Who's a fucking competition to HelloFresh? Anyone?
But I think it's just that classic thing, right? Of people seeing those clips online, not putting two and two together, or not caring that is from a show of yours that is a joke for that reason.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some of those jokes people shouldn't be able to scroll and see. But at the end of the day, you're telling those jokes as a fucking joke, and it's been taken.
But where do you, what do you say I can't show on the internet and all that type of stuff?
That's
like,
right.
It also depends on what app you're on. Like, I'm seeing a lot of people get killed on Twitter at the moment.
Yeah, I've never been a pretty wild. Twitter. I've never been a Twitter operator. Like, is it just open slather?
It is. It is.
Yeah. Like, there's porn that'll just rock up too.
It's horse. horse. There's horse. Go and check it out right now. But no, if you see someone like. That just heaps of chicks showing off their OnlyFans.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'll be just scrolling and there's just like an asshole, like just getting jammed. I'm like, all right, fair enough. But the people getting killed thing on Twitter is crazy.
That is hectic.
Heaps of Indian dudes getting hit by trains in India, and they're just getting just smashed by trains. It's like, wouldn't you learn to avoid the trains?
Have you ever been in any of those groups, man? Like
groups?
I'm out of all of them now because I'm like, I don't want to be like screenshotted that I'm in some group where this dude's getting beheaded or some shit. Because like there used to
so
be
you got these, out of the ISIS group. That's
good. Got out of that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was just these groups that like, and a lot of it was just funny shit or whatever, just wild stuff. But then you'd get these like people fucking proper killing diggers, like over in Iraq or whatever, like beheadings and diggers getting shot.
I saw one yesterday.
Wow,
I think it was in France. Just a dude in a park, like this some extremist dude walks up and beheads him.
Oh.
And you're just there in your lounge room just scrolling.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, fuck. This guy's just, his whole life is gone. One this morning. I don't know if the guy died, but they got up in a, what's the big parachute thing that goes behind a boat?
Sailing, whatever it is. They're doing it in Thailand.
Parasailing.
It's sort of like parasailing. No.
Something like that. You have a look.
Look at the Thailand. Mate,
parasailing. So this dude goes up in a parasail with the instructor. And then the dude gets like way up, straight up in the air, 100 meters, whatever it is, and then falls out.
What?
And I'm just having my coffee this morning watching that. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Oh. I think the worst one I've seen was this bloke waved to the camera, climbed up a windmill, and then just jumped off it and died. And old mate's just filming the whole time.
Jeez. Yeah, there's some
mad
shit.
Guns out there, I tell you.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's just that, like a lot of people, like, we're very lucky where we live, right, in this country. But just some people just don't value life the same as we do, do they?
Like,
just
particularly in countries where there's a lot of people too, or they've grown up with war.
Yeah, war-torn countries, and it's just like they just grow up seeing that all the time.
On X or Twitter, Fuck Around and Find Out is a great page to follow.
Yeah.
I don't know if we want to pull that up.
Yeah, upper.
But it's good. It's good to watch. It's not good, but it's good.
Yeah, it's wild.
Fuck Around, Find Out. It's just one of those videos where – it's just one of those channels – I don't know what it would be. It's like one of the – it's got a heap of followers, so it's not that particular one. But it's –
just full-on shit on there sort
of
thing.
It's the most full-on shit. But it's not like all death stuff. It's people like stacking it.
Well, that's like a lot of those chats used to be, and then you'd just get some sick fuck who must have loved that, and you just go, dude, there is something wrong with you that –
Remember like, that Mexican jail all-in? With the machetes?
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
That was fucking...
Even some of, like, guys stealing overseas and they take them and just chop their hands off or
like at the knuckles.
They'd be tied up and I'd maybe be hitting him with a whippersnipper and just, oh, man.
Oh, I saw that one.
Some
rough
shit.
Man, see, that's the thing that they should do with pedos instead of putting them in a
That's right. We said the other day that Steve Austin movie, what was it?
Condemned?
The Condemned, yeah.
Do you know that movie?
No.
They put about 12... criminals on death row on an island, and the survivor.
And it's a pay-per-view, and you'd all pay to see it. They all kill each other. But let's do that with the pedophiles.
There you go.
And then the kids that they got molested by, let's give them snipers.
Well, I've always said get rid of animal testing and test it on pedos.
Well, the dudes who committed that that massive terrorist act in Russia just recently, they caught them. One of them sliced off, so one of the Russian dudes sliced off this dude's ear and fed it to him. Wow. When he was like, you know, before he went to court, and they attached like car batteries to their genitals and stuff like that. Oh. But these people killed like 150 people. There's a part of human nature that I've never understood is where people go, no, that we shouldn't have the death penalty. If it's so obvious that this person, there's no question. Like, people have been put to death and they shouldn't have.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Happened like, to in America with a lot of black people in the middle of the 20th century, right?
Yeah.
A lot of black people put to death because their crimes were pinned on them because of, you know, corruption in different parts of the country. So, yeah, okay, maybe if it's not completely obvious that it was that person, maybe you shouldn't put them to death. Just put them in jail for the rest of their life or until something happens where you can go, okay, this person can be acquitted. But if it's so obvious that you're a pedophile and you've been doing this for however long, or you've murdered 150 people, you've done this, you've done that, you know, there's no question about it.
Yeah.
You should be dead.
Oh, mate, I agree 100%.
You should be fucking dead. This is what cancel culture should be. It should be chasing people who are fucking horrific individuals and not trying to think about, oh, the recidivism rates, this or that, because they're allowed to get out after. Fuck that. Lock them away.
Yeah.
You know, the people talk about in prison you should have certain, you shouldn't have certain rights. Like, if you, depending on what you've done, if you're in there for tax evasion, if you're in there selling a fucking bit of weed or whatever, a couple of bits of drugs, or who gives a shit. But if you're in there and you've killed your fucking wife, or you've killed your child or whatever, fuck you.
I agree, man.
Then they just claim mental health and get fucking better bed.
Well, there was one dude, I can't remember what I don't know his name or anything. I think it was on, I watch A Current Affair every night.
Yeah.
It's great for stories. It's great for videos because it's hilarious. It's the best unintentional comedy of all time. It's when Tracy Grimshaw was the host, much better, but, you know, we'll deal with fucking old love as time goes on. She'll become the next Tracy over time. But there was this dude and he got released from jail. He'd killed someone. I think it was like a kid or something like that. And now he's getting NDIS benefits, all this type of stuff. And the NDIS minister, he came on and was like, this is not who the NDIS is for. This is not for these fucking people that have come out of jail. And, like, if you've got a genuine disability, okay, maybe.
Mm.
But not for these fucking people.
Nah.
Okay. And the NDIS is an amazing system. And if you're unfamiliar, it's the National Disability Insurance Scheme and it looks after people with disabilities.
So we might have had a chat about that a while ago, Quinno. Remember we Googled that thing? I think
someone called up in regards to it.
Yeah, I think there was something we were talking about a while ago with someone scheming NDIS
funding.
Yeah, no, yeah. We were trying
to. Yeah.
No, but there was a bloke who was like rotting the system and shit.
There are so many people rotting this system. Now, I care about it. My brother's autistic and he benefits from it, right?
Yep.
So he's nonverbal. He's almost 30. And basically, if you've got an autistic sibling, you will understand what I'm about to say. He's very autistic. He's got basically the mind of a baby, right? And there's so many different levels to autism and all that type of stuff. And not everyone's the same, but that's where he's at. And without that system, he would be in a real world of hurt, and so would my parents.
Yeah.
Because the parents are the ones that people don't often think about when it comes to kids with disabilities. You know, it's such a hectic experience to have basically a baby for your entire life.
That's right, yeah.
And my brother Rory, he can, you know, walk around and smile and have fun and all that type of stuff. But there's other kids out there. I remember when he was going to school. Like it was basically a special school, primary school, full of kids, all with disabilities of varying levels. And there was this couple of kids there, all in wheelchairs. They can't move. They don't smile. They don't do anything. And you just think these lives, obviously difficult for the kid, horrific, but for the parents, absolutely unbelievable. And I'm a dad now, and I just cannot imagine having to.
Oh man, I'm so grateful. Like, I've got four kids. And
four?
I'm, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, I've got a bit on, bro.
We got a TV.
Jesus. But I'm very grateful that they're all healthy, mate.
Yeah.
Because then that's all you can ask for, eh? Like, when you go boy, girl, whatever. But very grateful, man, because you see some people who, and like you said, you feel sorry for the person who's disabled, but sometimes it's a, until the parents die, it's their job to look after that kid, you know?
Oh, for sure. Like, my old man's worked away a lot for a number of years, but so my mum has been my brother's number one carer.
Yeah.
And I've got four brothers, so there's a lot going on. I'm the oldest, so there's a lot going on in that house, and she's a crazy woman to be able to do that. Like,
Oh, for sure.
I have a son, and just to think about having five children is just...
And you think about, like, for us, like, we have that certain period of our lives where it's fucking hectic. The kids rely on you all the time. But then you're looking forward to, like, oh, now they can, they got their license. They've gone. Mum and dad, we're back, like, sort of thing. Like, imagine never being able to get that. That's a pretty full on.
And there are a lot of people who deal with that every single day. They wake up and it's like having a baby forever.
Yeah.
And you love them and you care about them.
Oh, for sure, man.
And I think that's why I've always treated people exactly the same,
like, yeah,
whether it's through humor or whatever, is because that's how I treat my brother. If he's being a fuckwit, I'll tell him yeah, Karen, like a fuckwit
stuff. And the other side of things too, I love this quote, treat the janitor with the same respect as the CEO.
Sure.
So the same in that way as well, where you're like, just because you're wearing overalls and you're holding the mop doesn't mean I'm going to speak you differently than a dude in the suit.
100%.
You know,
and that
I think
that's
pretty important.
That's something to drill into your kids, I think.
Fuck yeah.
Like my boy Atticus.
Yeah.
We call him Addy. We call him the Cuss.
Yeah.
Like my wife and I, Claire's the funniest person I've ever met. She's a fucking beast.
Yeah.
Like she's written some of the jokes I've been cancelled for. She's, she's a fucking
Yeah.
And she said the other night, we said at the same time, we called our son, who's 1 year old, the Cuss. Yeah. Like we've given him a nickname that we both call him. So he's gonna be called for the rest of his life the Cuss.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. It's crazy. But it comes from I rang up American Express when I was overseas to change a flight.
Yeah.
And the lady on the phone, she was not of a English speaking background and called him at the Cuss.
Yeah, at the Cuss.
So we called him Cuss. We call him the Cuss. Cuss.
Just, how good's that?
It's like, I love it, man. That's good. Love being a dad. But yeah, you wake up every day and you go, okay, what are we dealing with now? And your kids are still pretty young, I imagine.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, Harry's 4, then Evie's 2, and the twins just turned 1.
The twins.
That's why that's 4, bro.
That's the fear. You go for that scan and you go, holy shit.
Mate, first shot.
It's looking a bit crowded in
there. First shot. Like when we decided to have another one.
I was too.
Decided to have another one. I thought, here's a couple of months of fun. Bang, first shot.
Yeah.
I went, what the fuck?
And it's full on when they first say to you, okay, we're going to start trying. You've wanted to fuck your entire life. And now it's like, okay, it's time. I'm pissing on a stick. Let's go.
Yeah.
Like there's no, it's a job. Yeah. It's like turning up for work. Like you turn up a little bit, you have a coffee, you go for a shit, then you fuck, and then you have to do it again. And but it's I wasn't made for it.
In saying that, though, I just want to say I'm very grateful, even though I didn't expect to have 2. Some blokes and women can't have kids at all, which fucking would be another hard thing, you know? Yeah, that's right.
Point.
Yeah, but no, it's good, mate. I love being a dad. It's fucking...
So you reckon you'll have more?
Not a fucking chance.
Yep.
You're going to be the only child thing.
Yep, absolutely. And I'll tell you why. We travel all the time, number one.
Yeah.
And getting a baby on a plane is AIDS.
Yeah. It would be fucking
AIDS. It is
AIDS.
A killer. So we took Addy to America when he was 5 months.
Yep.
And he killed it. He was so good. He was like the best behaved baby, all this type of stuff. Now he's getting up and moving around. He wants to, it's a bit more of a like a come here and like I'm wrestling a crocodile. But
yeah.
He's such like I love that we get to take him everywhere. Like I got this photo last night. Can I airdrop it to you?
Yeah.
That Caleb, my videographer, took of Addy, and I love it. I want to get it like blown up and put on my wall. I've got all these. I got way too many photos of myself. it's just is that coming through?
Tom's MacBook Pro.
That forehead, I'm surprised. Yes.
And hey, mate, has that been cool, being able to take your missus and are they on tour with you now?
Yeah, they come.
How fucking sick is that?
I take them everywhere with me.
Yeah, that's
because for years they weren't able to because we weren't making enough money.
Yeah.
This photo here, I absolutely love it.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's last night. And so he's just sitting there just chilling. And when I had my childhood with my dad being my hero because, you know, he was playing footy and all these other people looked up to him and he was an awesome dad.
Yeah.
And I've got photos like this with my dad and now to have photos like that with my son
in these situations,
you know, it's just – it fucking absolutely means the world to me.
Yeah, it's super cool, isn't
it? And having Claire there too, like we started out she was my first fan, actually.
Yeah, right.
She saw that I posted a video at an open mic night because we went to primary school and high school together, but we were like 3 years different.
Yeah.
So I met her when I was 21. She was just 19 or roundabout.
Mm. Play.
And it was fine. It was, I swear
legal.
To God.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah.
She was legal. She was legal. Yeah. She didn't look it.
Bless.
But, Jesus Christ. Never been harder. And so she saw me post a video about doing stand-up and she watched it. And then I met her outside of a nightclub in Newcastle called King Street Hotel.
Yeah.
She was at the McDonald's across the road, King Street Macca's, which is just a shit fight after the King Street lets out.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
In Newey, there's like licensing laws where everything has to shut at 3 o'clock. Mm. I don't know if it's the same here.
Yeah. And I don't know what it's at now.
So 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was. Or this might have been a Sunday and it shuts at 12, whatever. And so everyone's over there. And one of my creepy mates, Jark, who actually works up here, I think I ran into him last time. Great dude, but just piss wreck. Yeah. Legend, but piss wreck. But I love him. And he was just creeping on Claire pretty hard.
Yeah.
And I walked over. She goes, "You're that comedian." And I was like, "Yes, yes, I am." Yeah, and we got married 2 years ago, and
congratulations, we've been
together for about 10 years. And so, just an awesome person, and my best mate, and that's why we travel everywhere together.
Yeah,
we just fucking love it. You know
that's
I mean?
Awesome, bro.
I talked about the book earlier. I've got a whole chapter about marry your best friend.
Yeah.
You're going to be with this person every single day for the absolute rest of your life if everything goes well. And divorce rates are pretty high, so you need to fucking make the right choice.
Yeah.
If they're not your best friend, then you've made a mistake is basically the whole point of that chapter. And a lot of people fall into this mistake of going, hey, I like this person because the way they look, or I like this person because they are into the same things as me. But if it's not the entire package, then you need to keep looking.
Yeah, there's plenty out there, isn't there?
There is, man. There's so many people that are living these lives of quiet desperation.
But I think it's the same with the job thing, right? They fall into this thing and it's like, oh, I've got this. It's all right. Like, it's pretty good, this job that I've got. But they've got this passion that they should chase. I reckon it's the same as, like, having a partner. They go, yeah it's all right. Like,
there's a bit of pussy on the side. You go, or, yeah, chase
good
that.
Good looking, or she's great around the house or something, but it's not.
She's great around the house.
No, but I mean, like, someone might have these things about this chick that they're like, they love about her, but they're not, like, obsessed with her, or not, like, the best friend, don't like spending time with them, or only do it if they have to. If that's the case, then what the fuck? You only get one shot.
Yeah.
I reckon if one of your partners is an introvert and the other one's an extrovert, that could probably play a bit of tension too. I reckon definitely in our game, if you were traveling and the other one didn't want to come traveling with you or something like that.
Well, I think one of the things that's quite beneficial is, like, just Claire's humor for me.
Yeah.
Like, she's as I said, the funniest person I know. Like, she just cracks everyone up. Like, she's a mad woman. Addie was asleep. That's why they went for a walk. Past the studio, but if she's in here, she does a podcast and all that type of stuff, and I have to cut bits out because she's just a fucking loose unit, but you'd never guess it to look at her, the whole marry your best friend thing, like, people say that for the longest time, but it is absolutely true, and it is essential if you want to live a happy life.
I'm a big believer in it. Like, my wife, fucking, it's unreal. We have the best times at home. Like, some of those nights when it's just me and her, the kids are in bed, all four of them, and she might be on the wines, I'll have a few beers and whatever, and we'll laugh like fuck, and just it's just good being in each other's company.
Yeah.
Appreciate it a lot now too with the amount of traveling and going away that we're doing. You know, I feel bad going away sometimes, and that's why, like, now at the start of it, it'd be like whenever we got an invite for a free weekend on the piss somewhere, we'd be like, oh, how cool is that?
Yep.
When now it's turning into this thing where it's like, if we're not going to benefit from it, like, business-wise, or meet someone or make a connection to grow and stuff like that, it's like, mate, I'd rather be at home with my family.
Good.
You know? So that's just those sort of change and growing and shit like that.
Yeah, but if you don't do those free things, then you don't get to where you are.
That's right. That's so right. You have to put in those sort of things at the start. Yeah. And then,
that's why I keep everything, like, so close to my house. Like, I don't drive anywhere to go to record videos and stuff. You know, I just film it all there.
Yeah. Which is handy that now you've got a thing where, because obviously you've had that Cancel Me Now podcast with Bluey back in the day, and, like, you've done other things and that. I think having something now with you and then with your wife and that, at least you don't have to, nothing to do with not liking anyone else, but it's like you can just do whatever you want to do and you don't have to wait for someone or.
I think the problem with podcasts for me was it's just a time thing.
Mm,
you know, because I prioritize writing stand-up and I prioritize making videos from work side of things. That's what I make sure all my time is spent. But I also said to Claire early on, I was like, I will not work past 5 o'clock when I'm at home.
Yeah.
Like, when we're on the road, completely different story. And we'll be on the road for the next 6 to 8 months. So it's a busy year. But at home, when it hits 5 o'clock, family time.
Yeah, yeah.
I drop whatever I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's essential for what we do.
Mm.
You know, we want to sit and have dinner together and all that stuff and put the boy to bed and all that type of business and watch Current Affair, Tracy Grimshaw. And
How do you manage the phone calls? Because they normally come in 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night. Do you just ignore them?
I just tomorrow? Don't. I don't. No one calls me.
Yeah. Okay, yep.
That'd be cool.
That'd be awesome.
Who's calling you blokes? What's happening at 7, 8 o'clock at night? Oh,
one of our business ventures.
Can't it be a fucking email?
Yeah.
Just trying to get things confirmed. Cause,
or a voicemail.
You know why? This will probably answer your question. Because you're doing a lot of your own thing. When you're in partners with other people and stuff, that you need other opinions on stuff.
100%.
Or are they happy with that decision? That's probably where those phone calls come in.
Or this boxing event that we've
Tell me about that, because I'm sure there's some people who don't know about it. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. So we pretty much, with a few other lads, started an events company called Alpha Events. Because we're like, we've got this big platform of people. So I have all the other podcasts that are talking to heaps of people who are invested in what they're doing. So I started an events company through this boxing thing, because Quino and Moose from the Two Flogs podcast called each other out for a bit of a fight.
Okay.
So we're still off them.
So they were originally just going to fight each other, and then Knuckles come in and everyone flew in and it become this big thing. So we're like, right, oh, let's make an event out of it.
Yep.
Reached out to a heap of other podcasts to get involved, and now, it's in 2 weeks' time at the Gold Coast Convention Centre.
Tickets still available?
No, she's sold
too
out.
Too fucking late. Too late. Losers.
Yeah, but we might have a spot for you, mate. There,
no, I'm busy. I appreciate it. If I'm not going to do a show, I don't leave the house. That's literally my
It's sold out in 12 hours. So
fuck, that's crazy.
4,000 tickets.
4,000 tickets.
Yeah.
That's so good.
So, and then, she's getting pay-per-viewed and that as well.
What's it on?
Live combat sports.
Live combat sports. That's just the website, yeah?
Yeah.com.au.
So when you're on the couch, mate, $30.
Yeah.
Well, if it's after a current affair, we'll think about it.
But no, it should be good, mate. It's just one of those things where, like, we're talking about, you capitalize on what you're already doing, right? So, like, the hardest thing for me is when you come up with a cool event, it's telling every fucker about it, which costs you heaps of money.
Yeah.
But we're in the position now where we can put fun events on that relate to our audience and tell them for free.
Yeah, 100%.
You know? So it's just about creating these fun things. And that's the other thing too. We love getting in with our audience, mate, and meeting them. A lot of people would say that and fuck around, but I genuinely do. Like, they're the people who put fucking money in my pocket so I can feed my family.
I definitely reckon we're the most on the ground with our audience.
Yeah.
I reckon we outdo any
in the trenches. I'll call that out now.
I reckon we're definitely, in Australia anyway.
Oh, I think it makes a difference.
I mean, I think I'm better than my audience, but that's just me personally. No, I do meet and greets after every show.
Yeah.
I haven't done them the last couple of shows because Addy's been there and it's like, time for bed. All right, let's go. Come on, Dad, fuck off.
Mm.
But that's incredibly important, just to be not like just to meet people because they fucking love it.
Well, because we are them though. That's my biggest thing. Like, we've only just a year ago started doing this full time. Before that, we were with them fucking at work and then doing this after we finished.
And involving them in the show with calling in, and then you meet the person that actually did that funny call in, like, and won it for the week. You're like, oh, that's you, mate.
That's like, we got those fucking hats, man, with the certain hats you can only win. And the best yarn of the week that calls in on that episode we do, just a heap of calls. The winner of that gets that hat, so you'll be able to spot them from they're a winner of the show.
They can yarn the fella.
Yeah. So I'll be like, mate, what was your yarn? And he'll go, oh, it was the one who stole the shit with that shovel from old mate camping or something.
Have you ever done like a live show with all the best yarns?
No, we've done one live show where you're performing tonight.
Yeah.
It went well.
Yeah. Done one, but you know, it's one of those things, man, where you prioritise what you're doing and all the stuff you got going on. And live shows are fun and that, but you know, probably one day you do them, but there's heaps of fun.
We'd love it, I reckon. Like you said, you like being at home. It worked well here. We'd probably just get everyone to come back here again and do another one here.
Sure.
Why do the big tour?
See, for me, obviously, touring is for me, it's like music. You got to tour to make
money. Oh, yeah. You know, you're in a different game. Yeah.
In a bit of a different sort of realm. But also, like, I could sit at home and just make YouTube videos and make enough money, but I like to be out there.
Yeah.
So that's something you'll get content.
That's something you like doing, isn't it? The stand-up sort of thing.
I love it, yeah.
Mate, there's a yarn I want you to run through that I've heard that you told. I can't remember which one. It might have been Gypsy Tales. Don't know. But when you were on a bus, when you were starting right. out
yeah.
and you were on the footy bus
yep.
and got your crack. Can you run us through this? Because fuck, I was laughing,
so,
man.
So back in, this would be 2016. There's a game, or there was a game called City Country.
Mm.
And basically with State of Origin, New South Wales versus Queensland, the rugby league, the New South Wales side in the 80s and 90s was picked off City versus Country.
Yeah.
City being, you know, people from Sydney and the Country being everyone else in New South Wales. And the best players from that game would go on to represent New South Wales, play Queensland, and probably lose depending on where, what part in history we are. And unfortunately. And, yeah, well, it's fucking pretty fucking obvious. It's been a tough existence. And so one of these games, and for a couple of years, my old man was the defensive coach of City. And so he would go down, he'd go away for a week, be a part of the whole thing when Brad Fittler was the coach of City then. Now, I was just starting out in stand-up, and my old man was like, well, why don't you come down and do a show for the boys? And I was like, it was at that point where I was like, okay, I'll do anything.
Yeah.
Right? I'll do anything. So I drove down to Coogee, and I went down there, and all the boys were playing, that were playing. They were training, and I sort of hung around for a bit, ran into my old man at the hotel, and then he introduced me to Freddie and all this type of stuff. I went and I was just sort of preparing like 15 minutes of material. And I was like, I don't know how this is going to go. I don't even know where we're going. I was under the impression we're going to a pub and I'd just do it on a little stage or something in the middle of the corner of the room. And it was, you know, I was pretty nervous because these were all like, you know, Andrew Fifita was playing and I don't know, all these other blokes. This was, you know, nearly 10 years ago now. Mm. So all the blokes that are coming up on retirement, that type of stuff now, but had represented Queensland. David Clemmer.
Yep.
This was just after David Clemmer had gone off his head at a referee, if you can remember that from a Bulldogs game
many years
ago. And it was a very, very famous moment, him and James Graham screaming at this referee. Now, so I get on this team bus and we go to this pub. And these blokes are at this pub for like 6 hours. And all of the players are just feeding the pokies. Like just, and I was like, 21, whatever I was. And I've never seen people feed them. Like I had mates who worked in the mines who were just feeding pokies, like 50, 50, 50, 50, didn't give a fuck. But these blokes were all just madness. Like Big Red was like up there going, please stop, calm it down. And then it gets to like 11:30, 12 o'clock at night and they're like, okay, let's head back to the hotel. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess, you know, it's not going to happen. I'm sitting on the bus and then I think it was Freddie just gets up and goes, so we've got Isaac, he's starting out at comedy and he's going to, you know, give us a bit of do some comedy for us. And I'm like, oh fuck yeah, let's go. So I walk up the front of the bus and the bus driver hands me the bus microphone, which is like the shape of a small shape of an iPhone, hands it to me. And the cord of the fucking thing only is like a foot long, so I've got to sort of just hold it like there. And I start doing this fucking routine, and it's awful. I'm bombing so hard. It was the worst I've ever bombed. These people, like, you say a punchline, you wait for the laughter. It never comes. And I'm there. I'm doing this joke that one of my first jokes I ever wrote was about Ray Warren, the famous commentator from the NRL, commentating porn. And I thought it was hilarious. I used to end on it when I did my 5-minute spots. It's like, ladies and gentlemen, look at him bumping away hard and fast, straight up the middle this evening. This is some of his best. that's not good. A cum shot. That's a miracle. And that was the bit.
That's brilliant.
Thank you. I agree. and so I do that. No laugh. And so.
To a footy crowd, too.
To a footy crowd. So these blokes are pissed and they're fucking heckling me. I'm getting hammered. My old man's like, Jesus Christ. Freddie's trying to calm everyone down. Everyone's into me. Like David Clemmer's yelling shit at me and big Andrew Fifita, he's yelling shit at me and like, this is shit, sit down, all this type of stuff. And then seemingly out of nowhere, I don't even know if I said this on Gypsy Tales, this chant goes out. Get your dick out. Get your dick out. Get your dick out. Get your dick out. So apparently this was like the thing that they did at the start of camp. Everyone had to get their dick out.
Yeah.
And so me being this comedian, 20-something years old, in front of this group of men, burly men on a bus, my God, I pulled my dick out. Yeah. It wasn't impressive. It wasn't good. But this big cheer came across the bus, and then I won him over. And then I was into Clemmer about this and that, and Andrew Fifita about this and whatever, and telling people to fuck off and suck me off and all this type of shit. And to this day, one of the players who actually just came back from England to play here in Australia, he said it was the best bus trip of his life.
Yep. Mate, and all from just getting your dick out.
And that is I'll address the camera. This is a lesson for all of you men out there. Get your dick out.
Mate, that is a great yarn though, eh? Like, just, you would have just been as a young fella there, around those lads, obviously growing up around footy, sort of on edge the whole night, thinking, when am I on, sort of thing.
Well, these are the big guns. Yeah. These are the heroes of people. These are the best players in the competition, and then I have to do stand-up for
them. But, mate, what a start, though, to get you used to just rough crowds. And that's what, like, we'll actually get into a bit of comedy now. Like, the regional crowds... Do you think that's like right up your alley you feed off them more than the city sort of crowds
so
much?
It depends where you are and what sort of show you're doing. If you're in a big – I did the Enmore Theatre just before COVID. And I shot a special there. Nearly – I think it was like 1,800 people or something.
Yeah.
Amazing theatre.
Yeah, awesome.
And the roar of the crowd when you walk on is just like nothing I've ever experienced. But that was really cool. And that could be a crowd anywhere and it would go well.
Yeah.
You know, because it's your crowd. Yada, yada, yada. But you go to fucking Tamworth. You go to last night in Bundaberg with people with no teeth. Like, it was just fantastic.
Yeah.
Just bogans galore. Because I'm a bogan. We're all bogans. Like, you know, I hate wearing shoes, all that shit. Mm. Love pies. That's me, right? And people, I've seen comments of people saying that he puts on an Australian accent. Like, he bungs it on. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
We've got that so often.
Really?
We're just talking shit.
Yeah.
I've had to translate Cam in Canada to other Aussies before, or even in Australia before. What did he say? Fucking let him know. But
Russ.
That's like a comment on TikTok a lot, like, oh, fucking bung on the accent. We're like, what do you mean?
What are you talking about?
That's the best compliment ever.
Yeah.
But the regional crowds are great, and particularly if they're all having a couple of beers and it's on. And I find it depends where you are, what type of material you do, or how you deliver your material.
Yeah.
Like, last night in Bundy, I wasn't going to go there and start doing jokes straight away. It was ripping on that kid in the wheelchair.
Yeah,
and then there was two people in the front row, like a couple, who had – the dude had cheated on his wife with this chick at swimming lessons because they both took their kids there.
Yeah.
And there's this whole thing. And then there's this other lady who was – she this lady fucking yelled out. I was talking about pregnancy. And I was going, anyone been pregnant recently? And she said, I was, and I had a miscarriage. And now I'm homeless. And I was like, how the fuck did you get tickets? What's going on? But then, like, there's just such good crowds. Like, I think that is the difference with the regional shows. People really get pumped and they're excited to be out and doing stuff and all that,
is
that type of business.
Is that the sort of thing you'll do, man? Go in, have a bit of a look at the crowd and go, righto, let's get them in the lap here a bit before you start? Or
nah, you just sort of go out and you see what's in front of you when you get there. And you can only normally see the first couple of rows.
So last night you went wheelchair, nice.
Dude, I saw the wheelchair as soon as I went out and I was like, all right, come on. let's go with this. And I started talking about pegging, and I was like, I looked at the dude in the wheelchair. This is like fucking with 5 minutes to go on my set. I've been on stage for an hour, and I looked at the dude in the wheelchair. I said, see him, ladies and gentlemen? He was an Olympic runner before he was pegged. This is dangerous what men are doing these days. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's fun wherever you go, but they are different. And then you go to like America and you do a New York show.
Yeah.
And I've been lucky enough to do that, and that's crazy too. That's a whole different fucking
How does that go? Do they get your shit? Like, do you do a lot of any like sarcasm and stuff like that? Would they fall behind a bit there? Like,
yeah, I mean, I got turned down by Netflix for my last special because it was too Australian. Yeah, they said it was too – it wouldn't sort of like translate overseas.
Yeah, right.
So that's something I've got to think about before I do my next one, if I'm going to try
and
sell it. Which
sucks because we'd probably fucking find that the funniest out of all of them.
Yeah, you know? That's right.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
So like, do they want to sell it to Australia or not? Like, but whatever, it is what it is.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah.
And probably putting it on YouTube is probably better anyway.
Yeah.
So
– is that what happened to fucking Jimmy? No. Who's the burn victim one I always bring up?
Jim Jefferies.
Is that what happened to him?
Burn victim?
Yeah, that's one of the best jokes I reckon from
him. Most recognisable.
He goes, oh, what was it? This bloke was burnt. No. What's the
burnt thing? To unrecognition.
Yeah, you ever walked into a pub and see a burn victim, he's the most noticeable cunt in there. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Nah, I was talking about him because I reckon he's like gone to America and then coming back to Australia. I reckon he had really good comedy, but now Jim's, I don't find him as
specials
funny.
Specials like Alcoholicost.
Yeah.
Those type of days when he's like.
Oh, the threesomes, he's sweating and fucking, yeah.
The egg
taking
story.
The special
yeah.
bloke, that? Taking the special bloke to the brothel. Fucking,
yeah. Yeah. Like, where's
Four Floors
that?
Of Whores, I think
that's when I fell in love with Jim. Like, before podcasts, I was listening to that as we're traveling down the coast.
He was my favorite comedian growing up.
Yeah.
Well, not growing up, but like, you know, in my late teens.
Yeah.
And I loved Jim Jefferies. And, you know, his gun control bit's really good. Like, amazingly written. One of the best pieces of material that's been written in a long time. But he has changed a little bit. And that happens as you get older. Like, you can't be the same person forever. It's a bit of a shame, but it is what it is. And he wanted to go and do TV and stuff. And now he's making a fortune. So.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you think if, like, with that style of comedy, like, Jim was pretty rogue there? Like, my favourite comedian of all time is Rodney Rood, mate.
Sure.
I fucking love him. Just funny as fuck. And he was rogue and that sort of thing. And do you think it's like once you get to a certain stage, people, like, well, a certain level of popularity, people will go, oh, that's okay because it's Rodney Rood. But, like, you making your way up or someone else making their way up, they might go, oh, that's fucked.
Yeah.
Because they're not such a well-known thing yet. Is that what happens, you reckon?
I guess probably, right? So, you know, this person is known for doing this, so we allow it. If this person isn't known for it, then we're going to freak out. And that's just part and parcel with coming up the ranks. I've only been doing stand-up for 10 years. I've hopefully got a very long time to go.
Yeah.
But I always – and this is, like, something that I'll instill into, you know, my family as it grows, not so much with extra kids, but just as we grow, is, like, you never know if you've got – another 10 years or 10 minutes of this.
Yeah. Fuck.
Live it up. Enjoy it. Go hard. Make your money. Yeah. And then, you know, be with your family and do the things you love.
And that's the same with what we're doing here, you know, like with the show. I'm hoping it goes forever, but that's why we're trying to do as many things as we can and make the most of being where we're at the moment, because who fucking knows, man, with the whole industry. Like,
100%. There's always going to be a new thing. You know, podcasts weren't a thing X amount of years ago, and now they're very, very big for a lot of people, and everyone's got one.
Yeah.
And only a few rise to the top.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wish you gents all the very best with what you're doing. It sounds like you've absolutely all three of you have got your head screwed on.
Mm. Yeah.
You're doing the right things. You're getting things done and people really enjoy it. And I think the number one thing that you guys have is the relatability, as you've touched on several times.
Mm.
You know, you are the everyman sort of thing. And on the topic of every man should buy Better Man, my book. In a couple of days, actually.
Before you get to your book, give us just a rundown of your tour, mate, like with what you're doing now, because we haven't actually said, given people the details of what you're doing.
So I'm touring, I'm about to announce next week or so, we're waiting, apparently one of the ticket links was broken or something, we're supposed to release this week. Anyway, I think there's about 17 regional shows all across Australia.
Yep.
And then off to America, there's about 17, 18 shows in America as well.
Awesome.
Then back to the capital cities here in Australia, then to the UK. And so it's going to be a massive tour. I think in total there's fucking 60 shows, something crazy.
That's awesome, mate.
It's going to be really, really cool. We'll end with a big show in Sydney or Brisbane or Melbourne or something and film it.
Mm,
yep. And that'll either go up. It'll go up somewhere. We'll put it up for people. And It's I'm very, very happy with this hour that I've got. You guys will see it tonight.
Yep.
It's new. So there's bits that I'm changing. Like, even last night I changed up like 4 or 5 jokes and I was like, okay, this needs to be here differently. This, I like this. I got this joke about Israel and Palestine with OnlyFans girls telling you who you should support and all that type of stuff. And I say the only thing that they've got in common with Israel and Palestine is like the iron dome that Israel has that's impenetrable to missiles, except it's their cervix and skin missiles. And it never gets a good laugh, but I love the word skin missiles, and I'm just trying to make it work.
Yeah.
You know, there's things that you just got to keep working on, you know. But
by
the time that I go and I do these shows regionally and then the capital cities and then the finished product will be, sharp and ready to go.
Fucking oath.
Reckon you'll be in the mothership for any of your shows?
I met Joe last year, which was fucking insane.
That would have been cool, man.
It was just my friend Adam Greentree, he's good mates with him, and we caught up with Adam and his wife Kim in Austin, and they took us in there, and it was just cool. He's just like, and the thing with Joe, and I don't know him from a bar of soap. I'm not trying to put that out there.
No.
He was – everyone wants a piece of it.
Yeah.
Everyone. So there's – we're in the green room of the mothership where, you know, there's not many people in there. But everyone in there wanted a piece of him, you know?
Yeah.
And then we're downstairs in the bar with Tony Hinchcliffe and all these people talking and having a chat. And there's that other bloke, Chris Williamson, the guy that does that podcast and all that. He's all there and all these people are there hanging out. And still everyone there wants a piece of him.
Yeah.
So I'd love to do a spot at the mothership and all that type of stuff. But it all comes down to whether or not Joe has enough time to fucking talk to you.
Yeah.
And that doesn't come from a bad place. It just comes from the fact that there's only 24 hours in a day for someone to deal with shit.
I'd love to sit on one of those Kill Tonys. I mean, you'd be good being the Australian version of that, sitting in with Tony Hinchcliffe.
Well, it's now that I've met these dudes, those type of things will happen, hopefully. Yeah. Like, I'm going to go over to the States prior to the shows in September and do a heap of podcast shit. And to plug the, you know, the book and all that type of stuff. So if those doors open, fantastic. Mm. If not, it's not like I'm going there to just do those things. I'm going there for experiences and to do things for my family and enjoy those things.
Putting yourself in a position to potentially make something happen. Like, who knows, man? You might be in that position over there. Joe might bump into something one day, see that you're over there, who fucking knows? He might go, hey, mate, do you want to come on for a chat? And you're ready to go, fucking nice.
I'm here, let's do it. So what I need to be, you know, careful of is I don't ever want to come across to anyone, because I know what it's like when people try and they want something out of you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be like that.
No.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You just, if you're doing the right things, you're doing your spots, you're doing your sets, you're making your online content, things will come if they want to come.
And, man, they're the people that I've always enjoyed, like, giving a helping hand up sort of thing, you know? Like, as in, we've sort of built this organically and I'm super proud of that, but in the same time, I would have loved if someone one day said, hey, you're working hard, bro. Do you want to come and do this? So we've been lucky enough to, and only to a small scale compared to the people we're talking about now, but given a few people a chance to get a bit of a platform to start their own show and then doing it as a job now and other things like that. And it's just cool to be able to do that, I think. You know? And me personally, I enjoy doing that for someone who's not asking for help.
Yeah.
And seeing that they're working hard rather than someone trying to beg you to get a helping hand, you know?
And that's why I like bringing Benny on the road.
Yeah.
Because he's a very, very hard worker.
Yeah.
And he will be great if he keeps doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
But it's just to give him some stage time.
Yeah, fucking oath, man.
At home in Newcastle, he's doing his own shows. And Benny McLennan is his name. Go and follow him. He does his videos.
Is that on Instagram and that? Just Benny McLennan?
Yeah, Ben McLennan Comedy, I think it is, off the top of my head. Yep. Go and follow him. Freak him out.
Yeah.
Mass following. Bombard him. Terrifying.
Just terry him.
Just fucking pump him.
My wife's been singing this song to him. You know Kate McKinnon by Colter Wall? Kate McKinnon. Anyway, Claire's been singing this Ben McLennan song all weekend. I made love to Ben McKinnon. She's just been singing to him in the car. I'm like, okay, this is getting a bit weird. Like, Kate McKinnon. Have you heard this dude? Can we listen to this?
Yeah. You should be.
So this is Colter Wall. He doesn't look like he should look.
Doesn't look like he sounds.
Maybe don't show his face. Just show like. If you can just clip out of this or get out of this and go into something else.
Yeah, I'll just wait and look.
Press play or we won't look.
I'll just face.
Do you want to just listen to the song?
Yeah,
let's do that.
Yeah, right.
It's he's got this fucking gravel, man.
He's got this
crazy gravel. And it's different.
Yeah, cool.
Righto, here we go. Kate McKinnon by Colter Wall.
You working in radio?
Great intro. Yeah.
Call us on 13 10 60.
Hotline's on.
The raven is a wicked bird. His wings are black as sin.
He's a gun.
And he floats outside my prison window, mocking those within.
Can you pull up a photo of him while we're listening?
Yeah.
So you picture, hang on, I picture this dude to have a big mustache and like just to be this older sort of seasoned veteran. Oh, you're fucking kidding me.
Isn't that crazy?
Are you kidding
me? Look at this one.
Look at that one there. No way.
That's him. Isn't that crazy?
That's off his head. That's, don't judge that's a book by its cover, eh?
And he has got some cracking songs. So if you're into a bit of country, it's not like I'm giving him a shout out. He's got he's massive. So
that's wild though to look at him after hearing that though.
Madness, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's
those gingers always surprise me.
Oh yeah. Scary people. Don't have souls, apparently.
Fucking oath. Well, Jim's pretty much the only ones left out there that you can guilt-free just pound.
Yeah.
And like, because
Pound?
Like as in just give them an absolute bath. Like, just jokes.
I thought we were meaning sexually.
Well, you can do that too, but I mean...
Fuck them, man. You just don't feel bad.
But, you know, like, a few of the jokes that you've told about certain things and they just go crazy on it, you could put a hardcore joke about gingers out there, and sure, some gingers will be offended, but like you won't get cancelled for a ginger
genocide
joke. You
couldn't on gingers, and people would be sweet. With
you wouldn't
in
get.
In fact, that's what I'm doing on this album podcast: the ginger genocide, which is a pretty good episode name. But I don't want to put that out there. I don't know how that'll go on Spotify.
But you know, like it's pretty wild that that's pretty much the only thing left you can just go to town on.
Yeah, and but they deserve it. So. Yeah.
Oh fuck! But so, what's he doing? Like, what's the setup for your shows, man? Will he come on, do like fucking 5 or 10 at the start, just sort of get everyone?
Benny, So he does 10, 15 up top.
Yeah, cool.
If I don't have him there because he's got a family and stuff, I have a bit of Enter Sandman, Metallica cut in with. I paid Bruce Buffer $1,000 to give do my intro.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I do that. But Benny's great, and so I've got him for this leg of the tour and stuff.
That's
like
awesome,
that.
Man! I'm super keen to come and watch tonight.
It'll be good.
It'll be really excited.
Really, really fun. So I'm pumped as well to be here and do it. Yeah, Gladdy and
fucking
and
nice,
get
mate.
Stuck into
good
some
to people. Have you planted on the couch. What about the book? Talk. How was that experience?
Oh, one last comedy question. Yeah first. Bro. Roast battles in Australia, is it a thing yet?
No, we were thinking about doing a roast of me, which I thought would be really cool, but COVID happened and we never happened.
Yeah. Well, but is there enough people to like all sit down? Like, oh yeah, because I guess you use movie stars and...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'll invite us, mate. We'll fucking make sure there's
a few I reckon Australia needs a roast battle.
That would be funny, wouldn't it? I think people would really enjoy to see me get fucking towered up. It's not hard, like... Just fucking tail. It's there's always the thing, the easy things to do. But
see, the thing with tailing you up though is you know that you've got a few fucking coming straight back.
Oh, well, that's it. And I'm a pig too. So whatever's wrong with you, I'm fucking coming for you.
Actually,
you know what I mean?
Before like that question, I've got another question to do with comedy. My favorite thing to ask is your best. Have you got any like memorable heckling moments like where that stick with you that you've just gone bang like
the best heckler I ever
like
had.
Jimmy Cardam.
Well, I've got good comebacks and stuff. Like this lady last night, she was telling me that she'd been in a relationship for 12 years of domestic violence. And I sat down in my chair and I went, wow, that's really hard hitting. Hilarious, right? But she started it. She was picking on me.
Yeah, yeah.
And anyway, the best ever was a dude in Broken Hill in New South Wales who had Tourette's.
Oh.
And he's like, his tick was like, hello. And this is, I just got hammered the entire show.
Oh.
And like, just by him. And then the crowd would laugh at him because they'd wait for, so I'd tell a joke, he'd get excited. And then the crowd would laugh again at him. And then he'd get more excited and then it'd keep going. And it was this negative feedback loop. At one point he was sitting there going, hello. It was just amazing. Like it put me
wild.
Off,
yep.
But it was the best heckle of all time.
Oh.
You know, but there's been some good ones. There's been some shit ones. I've only ever kicked out two people.
Yeah,
one
right.
One lady because she was just blind drunk.
Yeah.
And one dude because he
to
was.
To the point where they're like drunk and not even offering any sort of. Something.
One dude, I think it was in Fremantle, he just went, boo. And I went, what? He goes, boo. And he just kept going, boo, like just like that loud. And a boo. And I'm like, I can't. What do I do?
Yeah, what's
it went
that?
On for ages. I said, if you do it again, I'm kidding. Like, this is
yeah,
after
you're
10
gone,
minutes.
Bro.
You're gone. Yeah. And he went, boo. All right, fuck off.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, man, I love hecklers. They're fun. It's part of the show. You know?
Yeah.
As long as people are laughing in the audience, then it's cool.
Yeah.
If they get annoyed, then you got to go.
Yeah, that's right. If other people's experience there at your show.
100%. They're paid the cash.
If they're going, this is shit, you're going, well, fuck off, mate.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
No,
absolutely.
That's fucking fair.
No, I love hecklers. They're good fun. I've had some great ones. I've had some bad ones, but... Every show you don't know what's going to come, and that's what's
that'd
exciting.
Be the,
about
yeah, a bit exciting part.
Yeah, well, that's often what a lot of comedians really look forward to is that crowd interaction because you're doing the same material.
Yeah,
you know, there might be little variations, but you're mainly doing the same material, working on a show. the difference, the point of difference in every show is the people who turn up.
Mm.
You know,
so all the things you're doing, man. Like you got the book, all the social medias, you do your clips and videos on YouTube. Is stand up that time when you walk out and you just get to do what you've prepared for? Is that your favorite thing to do out of all the things? Or
probably,
yeah.
I get very, very nervous.
Yeah,
I always have. I treat it like I'm going to war.
Yeah.
When I was younger playing footy, I treated it the same.
Yeah.
I was a front rower, so I was just getting my head fucking bashed in. It was good fun. Yeah. But I treated it exactly the same. I prepare for it all day.
Yeah.
Like, so when I leave from here, I'll go and do notes.
Yeah.
And it's different now with the young fella, so we've got to look after him too, obviously, so it's a little bit different. But I'll go and do my notes, I'll prepare for the show, freak out a bit, you know, do some shadow boxing before I go on stage and all that type of stuff, and then it's on.
Yeah.
But, no, I do really, really enjoy it. Like, it freaks me out, but it's great.
Yeah.
It's cool, good to have that fear. If you don't have that fear in your life, then it's pretty boring.
Yeah. No, fucking oath. Mate, the book.
Better Man.
Yeah.
So I wrote a book.
Yeah.
I always wanted to write a book. I like reading and I like writing, so it sort of made sense to me. The publishers that got behind it, they gave me a great compliment. They said, "We were surprised that this is actually good."
Well,
which was a nice thing to say.
Yeah.
But it's a whole – it's not an autobiography by any means because I'm only 30.
Yeah.
But it's almost like if you're a young person looking at the first – third of your life, it's important, but I think it's also important for people to read that are in the second third or the third, looking back on what maybe they can still change, or what, you know, their kids or other people in their lives that are youngsters are coming to, they're going to see. There's a lot of this book touches on men's mental health.
Yeah.
Like I've had issues with anxiety in the past, and so I have a condition called paroxysmal dyskinesia, which is a movement disorder, and I lose control of my head and neck. And they turn to the left, and I go blind in this eye. It used to happen when I was playing footy. I'd have a big collision, and you know, I'd have one of these turns, these fits. And I started to get very, very aware of them, very fearful of them. And I still get very fearful. That's the only thing I'm scared of on stage. It's not doing my jokes or not getting laughs. It's having one of these.
Yeah. Fuck.
So it freaks me out. Always has, and has done for a very long time now. And that sent me into a spiral in about 2018 when I started making YouTube videos. Mm. And that's why I think I work so hard on YouTube videos, is the only time I wasn't in this constant state of anxiety and like genuine, not like nervous, but like I am panicking, like I've got a tiger next to me all day even though nothing's happening.
Yeah.
And it was horrific. The first chapter of the book is heavy.
Yeah.
It's heavy shit. We go on to talk about cancellations and marry your best friend and you know, working on yourself and you know, all different concepts and ideas and things. And I genuinely think that this book will help people, but it's not a self-help book. It's just a story written by just some bloke.
Yeah.
That's all
did
it is.
Did you enjoy the process?
I did. Yeah. I wrote, it's like 280 pages or something, and to see that come out of, like, I wrote it was just weird.
Yeah. You know? What was the process of like the original draft and then going over it? And did you have someone else read it to just
I had a couple of people go through it and they go, okay, we've made like we've changed this wording here because that doesn't make sense and this and that and the other and you've fucking said this twice. Let's get rid of that, which is helpful. And that's part of the editing process I get. And they go, okay, can you read it back through again? I'm like, fuck, do I have to read this book for the eighth time? Not that it's not a bad book, but just –
Yeah.
I don't want to fucking read a book for the eighth fucking time. I don't care what book it is. And yeah, that was a really cool process. And then for them to say that it's actually, they were surprised that it was good. I sent it to like, no one else had read it. My wife hadn't even read it. I sent it to my manager. I sent it to some other people and they were really like, wow, okay, this is a genuine, you know, this is a genuine author here.
Cool.
Which is really, really cool. And I want it to be for a lot of people the first book they read because a lot of people don't read.
That's right, yeah.
I want it for that, and I will send you guys some. I don't have them yet. They're coming on the 1st of May. So, yeah. Judging by pre-orders, it was the number 6 in the country like a few days ago.
Awesome,
which was really, really cool, and I was really, really, you know, excited to see that. That's, you know, you're in the fucking bestsellers list at the moment, which is really, really cool. And but yeah, it's on my website, isaacbutterfield.com.
Fucking nice.
Go check it out.
Yeah, cool.
Is there any future, or you might want to keep it to yourself, but any future on an audiobook or?
Maybe.
But
see how this goes. You got to read it first.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I what was that David Goggins one he first did? I listened to that on audio and then went back and tried to read it. But yeah,
I think the only benefit
that was
of,
massive.
I think the only benefit of obviously audio books and
like podcasts. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because like a lot of people are stuck in a car driving or operating a machine.
For sure. Who has time to read a book?
Yeah. But
I think I'll cater to both.
Yeah. But I think that's a good idea though. Book at the start, go read the book. Yeah. And then eventually there's that kick up the ass later on with an audio book.
Yeah. Right? And if you want to check it out, like we might do that around Christmas or something. You know what I mean? So people when they've got time off work, they can go and listen to that when they're chilling out. But yeah, I hope it helps some people. I hope it. But again, it's not like it's a book just on mental health. I don't want to just put that out there. Nah. This is something that, you know, it's going to cater to a lot of things that are happening at a lot of different people's lives at a lot of different times.
Do you think a lot of people get surprised when they meet you in person or hear you on a podcast or when they read your book that it's like, oh, this guy's not just a racist bigot? Like as in what
well,
they
I am
might-
a racist bigot, yeah. But it is. It's like if you've only seen a fucking 30-second clip of me making fun of someone
that's
with
what
a different
I mean.
Coloured skin to me, then you're going to think it. Like, and that is what it is.
Mm. But I think it's cool that you've got these things out there for anyone who might want to dig a bit deeper to go, oh, hang on. Like,
unfortunately, we live in a world where people don't dig.
No.
They take it at face value and that's what they see. They see a clip of you and they go, well, that is that person.
Mm.
It's not.
I think we're all guilty of it, but.
Oh, 100%. Like, who has time to dig into all that
That's
shit?
Right.
I get it.
Yep, she is fat.
Yep, she is. Yeah. And I don't want to talk to her.
Mate, the things you make videos on, this is what I reckon in my head, this is what you do. I'll scroll through something and go, oh, fuck off, and keep scrolling. You go, oh, fuck off, I'm going to do a video about that. Is that what you do?
Do you mean, like
no, this is
like all those links that I've got in my phone right there?
Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go, because that's like all the videos. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw that the other day and went, fuck off. I'm not even
100%.
Fuck off.
It's and providing the news that no one is interested in.
Yeah. And a little bit of your work would have been done for you because you'd be getting all the DM stories set.
People are sending me DMs, they're sending me this, they're sending me that. I see a story and I just run with it, you know.
Mate, that big girl with the dark voice, like the, we'll finish him. Like,
oh, is that the forehead caved in one?
Oh, no, they're just that. Yeah, I assume it might be trans.
I've got a video coming out next week with that in it. Yeah. Yeah, she's crazy. She's in Seattle, I think she's like a prosecutor or something.
Oh.
And she's got these giant tits. It's obviously not a natural born woman.
Mm.
She may have a cock. Yeah. And when I say cock, I mean like a fucking schlong. She's hung. This woman is hung. Huge tits, huge cock, but like a Karen haircut. And then my whole point, I was just like, why would you do all that work? Tens of thousands of dollars, changing your body, great dress, all this type of stuff, and then get a shit haircut like that. Get some bangs out then or something. You're stupid.
Mate, it's
crazy
a fucking
human.
It's a wild world we live in, isn't it? Like, it's tailor made for you to make videos.
It's the best time to be a comic. Like, everyone's insane. And every idiot has a voice.
But even like a couple of, Two Bears, Tom Segura. I love watching his the other day when he goes, oh, my boys, they're real he-hims, if you know what I mean. Like just those sort of things. Yeah. That's funny as fuck because it's crazy that you actually have to say that now.
Yeah.
And you go, wow.
Yeah.
You really actually.
People are saying that their kids are 18 months old and they're them and shit like that.
Oh,
people think that I hate trans people. That's ridiculous. No one, who the fuck hates trans people? As long as you're not giving your kids hormone blockers, that's my whole point. As long as there's not kids getting hormone blockers, if you're an adult, do your thing. If it doesn't hurt anyone, go for it. You know, that's
Same. For me, it's the same as religion. If you want to believe in religion,
go
fucking
nuts.
Awesome. If you want to say you're a chick, you got a cock, whatever, all good. Just don't push it on me.
Don't force anything on anyone.
Same with the 100%. Vegan stuff, same as everything. You just fucking do you, bud. Yeah. Run like your own race, champion.
You should never try and make someone do anything other than buying Better Man, which is available right now.
I like it.
Yeah, but no, that's right, man. And that's so funny that you had that thing of notes with the link because I'm thinking surely he just goes, oh, fuck off.
Oh, like, man, I got like 45 videos on the go right now. I'm ready to go, you know what I mean? So
some of the biggest online battles you've had with like vegans and stuff, like what's been the biggest like to and fro you've had?
Gaines wanted a boxing match with me. Do you know who Vegan Gaines is?
I'm pretty sure in a loader out in the mines, I listened to a podcast that you and him had back in the day.
Yeah, we did.
And yous were like having a to and fro and I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, he's just a fucking psycho and this is him here. I don't know what he's been up to recently. But there's all these old videos of him just like screaming at the camera. He was with a gun. That's concerning.
Well, here he is.
What's he benching there? That's three plates.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Ah, piss week.
Wait, look at that. This is fucking insanity with a little leaf.
That's the cult. They're like, yeah, look how many leaves there are. As you go down, you good see job, extra man. Leaves. There's only two leaves, but don't tell anyone.
So, call them what you want, knee knockers, golden nuggets, thigh slappers, but our friends at Manscaped refer to them as the boys. Not every man has children, but every man is responsible for their two boys below the waist. When your little guys have more hair than they need, trust Manscaped for all your grooming dreams. Boys need love too, so join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com and using the code ALPHABLOKES for 20% off plus free shipping. You heard it here first. The boys are back in town.
Every man knows how scary it can get when you're going for the close shave below the waist. That's why I trust Manscaped for all my sensitive areas. Introducing the Lawnmower family, including the Lawnmower Pro 3.0 Plus and the 4.0 Pro and the 5.0 Ultra.
Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALPHABLOKES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALPHABLOKES at manscaped.com. For the best your boys have ever looked, trust Manscaped.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This was the biggest one, you reckon, where you just proper went right. And yeah, you brought the convo on, didn't you? You're like, yeah, okay, let's go. Let's have a bit of a chat.
There he is there. Look at him. He's pretty jacked. He's an absolute dipshit, though, which is hilarious. Like, he just is such a fucking goose. And I reviewed his wife's OnlyFans on a video too. Did you? And she's got this little, like, bit of back hair. And that was, like, he made, like, this 10-minute video and, like, 7 minutes was talking about how I didn't like his wife's back hair. And she's like, he's like, why? What's wrong with a little bit of peach fuzz on my wife's back? And I was like, dude, who cares? Like, calm it down.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, bro, that's so funny.
Gentlemen, not to cut it short, but I'm going to go and check into this hotel and sort my life out.
No drama.
Thank you very much for having me. I do appreciate it.
No worries, brother. Thank you. I'm looking forward to... Yeah, looking forward to coming to the show tonight. Wish you nothing but the best with the tour you're doing, with the book and everything else you got going on, mate. So good
on
you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate your time and your efforts.
Well, it'd be good on you. Let's go.